That's my favorite thing in all the world. Those moments where you can just open up your heart and commune with God. And He lovingly lets His Spirit down around you like a cloud. And you get lost in there and you have no connection with the outside world. Oh, my favorite place. Hallelujah. Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm just checking. And I got plenty of time. Hallelujah. When I was beginning to put this message together, if I can say it that way, I was tarrying before the Lord. And I was trying to figure out how to start this thing, knowing where we're ending up. That's not always easy to do. And so I thought to myself, well, we'll just start at the very beginning. And I want you to have your word ready. We're going to get into it here in just a few minutes. But I want to begin a little differently before we get into the scriptures. So bear with me if you will. Just give me a moment. Father, we come before you this morning. And I know we've prayed several times already. But I'm asking you for that touch that makes the preaching as enjoyable to do as it is to receive. And the only thing that can do that is your anointing power. And I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit that gave me this word will preach it through me as a vessel. That it would bring honor unto your name. That I would walk in pure obedience before you, Lord. Saying nothing more and nothing less than what you've ordained here today. I already sense your presence. And I know you are here with us, Lord. So I pray you will have your way. Open our eyes to see. For the love of God, open our ears to hear. That our hearts can receive what the Spirit is saying unto the church today. For I ask it in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen. And amen. When I said I was going to begin at the beginning, it's not metaphorical. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, by which came sin and death through disobedience. They had children and the earth began to be populated. Those children did live wickedly in the sight of God. Nearly 10 generations would go by before God would call a man by the name of Noah. Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah who the Bible said was a just man. God saved only him and his family in the ark as the rest of the world would be destroyed in the flood. After they hit dry land, Noah and his sons began to populate the earth again until a time, the Bible says, the time of Nimrod. And the peoples got to a place where they worshipped men and what they could build instead of God. Until the day God came down and destroyed the Tower of Babel and scattered and confounded their language. And as they were scattered throughout the earth, they would take those with them that spoke the same thing they did. And the Bible tells us through time and course that they served many gods, until such a time that God would raise up a man by the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Men of God. Jacob, who would become Israel. His sons, the 12 sons of Jacob, would become the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And his sons, apart from Joseph, would live wickedly before the Lord, which would bring the children of Israel into a time of slavery and bondage to Egypt for over 400 years. But God found a man and raised up a child by the name of Moses, who would go on to lead the children of Israel out of bondage and out of Egypt. And God would lead them by His Spirit, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And there's a whole message right in there. Would lead them to the mountain of God, where God would give them the law of God, written by the very finger of God Himself. The Ten Commandments, we call them. And as God gave these commandments and began to give them direction, did you know that there's more in Exodus and Leviticus than just the Ten Commandments? But in those books we find God's manual on how to worship Him. We find God's manual on how to serve Him in ministry and to the body. And God raised this man that brought the children of Israel out of bondage, gave them these directions. I was writing all of this down and I noticed. Did you notice who followed Moses? Did you notice it was not the sons of Moses? How many of you know that? But it was Joshua. I don't have time to preach on preacher's kids today. I'm one of them, so I have to be real careful. But God would raise up Joshua, who would take over for Moses, and he would lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness, where an entire generation could not get out of their own way, and they lived wickedly before the Lord and continually tempted God, until an entire generation of them died in the wilderness. And God raised up Joshua to lead the remainder of the children of Israel to the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. They would send out spies. The majority of these spies returned with a bad report of big walled cities and defensed cities, and there were giants in the land, while there were only two that came back bearing the fruits of this promised land flowing with milk and honey, one single cluster of grapes that had to be carried on a pole between the two of them as they come back into town. And I believe it was the words of Caleb that would stand up and say, "We are well able to go up and possess the land. We are well, it doesn't matter about the walled cities. It doesn't matter about the giants that are in the land. By the word of God who gave us this promised land," those two spies would say, "We are well able to go up and possess the land." And the people would go on, and from that time they would be led through the word of the Lord by priests and by prophets. Some of them were just, many of them were unjust. And Israel lived wickedly before the Lord. But God raised up a child by the name of Samuel. The sons of Samuel became the judges that would lead Israel for a while. For a while they did well, but then they began to live wickedly before the Lord. And then God would raise up a David in the era of kings. And the sons of David, apart from Solomon, did wickedly before the Lord, until it brought about a great captivity of Israel some generations later by the Babylonians. And this continued back and forth until such a time as God would raise up a man by the name of John. We know him as John the Baptist. And God sent after John His only begotten Son, His name being Jesus. And by Him we received the cross of Calvary through which came the new covenant that you and I are a part of today. We call it the gospel. Through this gospel and through these events, after this would come the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the birth of the new church as the book of Acts would begin. The true church, I want to say it that way. You say the church today and it conjures up so many different things and very few of them are godlike. But it was the true church that was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Until God visited and set Himself upon a man by the name of John, different John, on the Isle of Patmos. And the Lord revealed Himself to John there. Thus the book called Revelation. Letters were given to the churches from the Lord. Then the rapture of the church would take place. Then the tribulation, in which we have 7 years of a peace treaty, 7 years or seven trumpets, seven seals and the bowls, the breaking of the treaty halfway through, the deception of the Antichrist. Then Russia and their confederation, if you will come against Israel, coming down out of the north until they are destroyed in the hills and the mountains surrounding Israel by the hand of God. Then the Antichrist will break these ranks yet again. And will ascend the throne of David in Israel. And will make open war and will begin to gather unto himself the remaining armies of the world. And they will fight a fight against God called the Battle of Armageddon. Then Israel will recognize their failure in recognizing Jesus as the Christ. And they will cry out to God from a place called Petra. Then Jesus, accompanied by all the saints of glory, will come down riding horses and obliterate the armies of the world, the Bible says, until the blood runs to the horses' bridles. Thus we have the second coming of Christ. He sets up His kingdom with the New Jerusalem. John said, I saw the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. I just a short time ago had a I don't know what it was, a vision or dream or something, where just a moment of time in this dream or vision, and I don't have time to describe it all, but there was this little circular thing that opened up into heaven somehow, and it was the most brightest, transparent gold that I've ever seen in all of my life, and I don't know how to explain that very well, except the words that I just gave you. And all I know is it was probably a glimpse of what John saw on the Isle of Patmos, a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, a place where the Lamb will be the light. There will be no more need of the sun. There will be no more need of the moon. There will be no more need of these earthly, beggarly elements, for we will be in the city of the Lamb of God, where the Son of God is the light, and we will live and walk in that light with Him. The Bible says He will set up this new kingdom in New Jerusalem, and there will be what is called the millennial reign, the kingdom age, the thousand year reign, where Satan is bound in the depths of the world. At the end of this thousand year reign, he is going to be loosed for a season, because there are still going to be people that are living and giving in marriage and having children, and there will be a time where they will. You understand what the Word of God says when you're reading these things, where their hearts are really not given over to the Lord, and Satan is loose for a short season at the end of the millennial reign, and he's done so to further tempt the hearts of those who refuse to give their dedication unto the Lord, and there will be a time that'll come when they will all be destroyed. And then will come what we know as the great white throne judgment, where all the wicked of the world are gathered together and the wicked from hell are brought up for one day. I thought about that the other day and I thought to myself, good Lord, that is a harsh tease from God. When you have been in the depths of hell for as long as you have been there, and God lets you out for one day, just so that you can catch a glimpse of what you're going to miss for all of eternity? We would call that cruel and unusual punishment, but it's the judgment of God. The great white throne judgment is the place where all the wicked are judged according to their deeds, according to their words, according to the lives that they lived. And at the end of that judgment, all the wicked, did you hear me? All the wicked being judged by Christ Himself will be cast into outer darkness for all of eternity. Then eternity will begin. You might be sitting here today and you've heard me pretty much preach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in these few minutes, and you might be asking yourself, Brother Cooley, where are we in all this? And I choose my words very carefully, but I've come to tell you today exactly where we are. We are in the book of Revelation, long about the end of chapter 3. You'll know in chapter 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches were given. I haven't got time to go over those. You probably wouldn't want me to anyway. But the last church that the letter was given to, let me explain this to you just for a moment. The last church that the letter was given to was the church of Laodicea. Seven letters to seven churches. Let me explain something to you. I've heard it preached and I've read in commentaries where these were seven dispensations. They were seven different times, seven different growing processes of the church. And we're in the last one. That's not true. When these seven letters were given of the Lord to John to give to the angels of the seven churches, which are the pastors of the seven churches, all seven of these churches existed at the same time. They were not different ages. They were not at different times. But there were conditions and there were things that were going on within the body of Christ that the Lord divvied out to these seven different churches which represented the whole. And they were spiritual conditions that were going on during these seven churches at the same time. And God spelled them out. And I would say to you, it is worth the time that you would take to read those. Because if you read them succinctly, one after the other, if you read them all together, almost like one letter, you will find a direct painting, if you will, a parallel of the modern day church of today. Because everything that they struggled with in those letters, every problem that they had in those letters were going on in different places, but all at the same time. But in the modern day church of today, we've got every one of those letters that is going on, and it's going on all at the same time, and it's going on all in the same place here in planet Earth as you and I know it, and the seven church, and we have come to this culmination to where we are stuck at the end of Laodicea, and yet we haven't seen the rapture of the church, and we're right in there, which means there is an opportunity that I want to avail you today, an opportunity that I want to give to you from the Lord today, for it was He that put this word on my heart and said, bring it to my people. They need to understand how close we are. I've heard it all of my life. I've heard the rapture of the church and the second coming of the Lord talked about all of my life. And they believed then that it could happen at any time. And if they believed then that it could happen at any time, how much further down the road are we now? And how much really closer are we to the coming of the Lord? And I got to tell you, I don't know what your finger is on in this world in these last days, but my finger is on the pulse of this world. And I can tell you, the earth is groaning and the earth is crying. praying for its day of sweet release. I hope you understand what I'm saying to you. You can turn on your news today and you can see the tragic, horrible tragedies of these earthquakes that are popping up all over the place. And I've heard people say so many different things, and they it's a distraction to what is really going on. It's a spiritual thing that's going on. These earthquakes are not by accident. They are sent as judgments from God. God said in the last days He would send earthquakes in diverse places, and that God was going to do any number of things. And I don't have time to go into all of that today, but I'm here to tell you we are at that pivotal moment where we can see the signs of the times, where we can know that we are coming upon the happening of the rapture of the church. And the Bible has told us time and time again that we need to take warning, and we need to take heed, and we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And I've got to tell you, standing up here this morning and looking out at the church world today, I'm not convinced that we believe in our heart that the coming of the Lord is as near as it is. And no wonder the Lord said that no man knows the day nor the hour, but that the Son of Man was going to... Let's take a moment. Let's read it. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 13. And I'll give you a moment to turn there or turn on your electronic device. If you're going to use your phone, shut it off when we're done reading scriptures. Mark chapter 13, we'll begin reading with verse 32. And if you have a decent Bible, it's written in red. These are the words of the Lord Himself. Mark 13 and 32 says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven." How many of you remember, what was it, 1988 was the first real one where I don't remember the guy's name that came out with a book that said 88 Reasons Why the Lord is Coming Back in 1988? I'll say it again. No man knows the day nor the hour. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed. Do you read that like I do? Take heed. Watch. And pray. Very quickly. When He says take heed, I'm going to put it in layman's terms. He is saying, pay very close attention to the words that I'm giving to you today. And I would say to you, if you could feel what I feel in the Spirit. The Lord began to open this, the tiny little stubble, the hair on the back of my neck stood tall. And I could just feel the hand of the Lord saying, it's time to pay attention to the Word of God. Let me say it a little differently. Peter would preach a message, and he would say, preach the Word of God. Be instant in season and out of season. For the time will come. That time he talked about is here and now. For the time will come. Here are his next words. Where they will not endure sound doctrine. Can I tell you this morning? And I'm just going to stick to the Pentecostals. I tell you this morning that the Pentecostal church of today is not enduring sound doctrine. We are living in a time, I shake my head so much I can't believe what's going on. And I know you hear us talk about these things all the time, but I can't help but say it again. We are living in a time when they have taken the doctrines that are given to us plainly in the Word of God. Listen to my words. And with great craftiness and with great manipulation, they are twisting and contorting and marginalizing. You know, I don't know where you come from, but some things are just plain to me. When God said in the Word, thou shalt not kill, well, that means you shall not kill. When He said, thou shalt not bear false witness, There's no way to interpret that. We in the church have forgotten that the Bible says that the Word of God is not subject to private interpretation. Is that not what it says? But is meet for what? For reproof, rebuke, and sound doctrine. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? The church... You specifically, all of you here under the sound of my voice, need to begin to be extremely, extremely careful. I'm going to say it this way. With everything you hear. And you had better, this is part of taking heed. You had better get the Word of God. And you had better line it up. Listen to me. Idea by idea by idea by idea. I have come to the place in my walk with the Lord. I am so fed up with preachers telling me that they feel this and they think that. And when they tell you what they feel and they tell you what they think and they take some scriptures and they twist them to fit what they feel and what they think, and it takes away from what God actually said. What are you talking about, Pastor? What are you talking about? I'm talking about sound doctrine. Well, what's sound doctrine? I'm talking about, first of all, there's only one way to God, and that is through Christ, His Son. There's only one way to be saved, that is through the blood of Jesus. There is only one way to get to God, and that is by faith. You will not earn it. There's no amount of good deeds that you can do to get into God's favor. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sound doctrine. Let's get into the Word of God. What the Word of God begins. Oh, you don't want me to talk about it. I know you don't. I get conversations every time I say anything about the Holy Spirit and what He's doing and not doing in these last days. And the church begins to bristle up and buck up and thinking that they can do anything that they want to do because they say it's in the Spirit and they think it's of God because it's a spiritual thing, and because they think it's of God and because they feel a certain feeling and they get a certain notion about themselves. They don't think in their mind that it could dare be the flesh, even though most times it is. We have become a people that are being led by their feelings and by their emotions. And because they felt a certain feeling, they automatically attributed it to God. But they didn't take the time to line that thing up with what thus saith the Lord and what the Word of God tells us very plainly, called sound doctrine. And because of that, we've got a bunch of free willies out there that don't have any idea what they're doing. But they're leading the church, the modern day church, down a road that is all wrong. And we are missing God in the process. And because of this, our churches have become void. Because of this, we have no moving and operation of the Holy Spirit, no matter what gyrations they go through, no matter how they dance, no matter how they scream, no matter how they yell, no matter how they... Oh, here we go. We're going to get in trouble. I don't care. No matter how they give tongues, no matter how they give interpretations, no matter how they give prophecies, no matter how they do all of these things that are certainly scriptural in one aspect, except for the part that they missed, and it must be led by the Spirit to begin with. And we don't have time to go there today, but just let it suffice to say this to you. We are living in an age where we are not taking heed to what the Word of God says. And if the Word of God says it very plainly, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you feel. If God said don't do it, don't do it. If God said leave it alone, leave it alone. If God said pick it up, pick it up. If God said do it, then you do it. But if He says don't do it, then don't do it. How many of you believe what the Word of God says when it says that the Word of God, all Scripture, the Bible says, is inspired of God? So I don't care what the preacher says, and I don't care what the teacher says, and I don't care what the prophet says. If it's not in the Word, and if the Word says something different, don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to turn it around to some private interpretation, because it's garbage.
I didn't think I'd get shouted down here.
We are to take heed to what the Word of God is saying. We are to watch. It's a spiritual watch. I don't even understand what I'm talking about. That means you got to pay attention to everything going on around you. Everything. I'm going to get down to where you live today. Listen to me. That means everything that comes into your home, everything that comes into your life, everything that comes into... Listen to me. Everything that comes into the life of your children, Everything that comes in, you had better be sizing it up by the Word of God. You are to be on your guard. You are to be on your watch. You are to be watching everything, every spirit. Let's get real. You had better be watching every bit of music that gets turned on in your car. Every bit of music that gets turned on in your house. Every bit of this or that or the other. This little thing over here and that's got a touch of the world to it and you don't think it amounts to a whole lot. And you suffice yourself to say, well, I've struggled with it for a long time and the Lord knows all about it. Listen to me, I know the Lord knows all about it. But that doesn't mean that He forgot about His Word. And when we stand before God, we're going to be judged by His Word. Not by your feelings, not by your emotions, but by what thus saith the Lord. We are to watch. We are to pay attention to everything. I heard Sunday night, we were talking about things that our fathers left for us. And I didn't want to say nothing because it just, I don't have that kind of time. And anyway, but I heard something. My son Jeremy said about me, one of the things that I've left in a mark on him about was discernment. And oh, how the things started to flow in my mind when I heard that. It didn't have nothing to do with him being my son. It just the great, you know, we everything that glitters is gold. We want all of the healings and we want all of the good word prophecies and we want all of these things. The greatest gift that God could bestow upon this church age in these last days is discernment. Because I got to tell you the truth, we don't have any. We are operating churches week in and week out, month in and month out. It's disheartening to me as a preacher. Year in and year out, and we have no discernment. We accept anything and everything. We do not size them up with the Word of God. We're at the cusp of the coming of the Lord, and the Lord says, take heed. And He says, watch. Discern. Are you watching? Are you discerning? Or are you just going along? To get along. He said, we watch and we discern and we pray. Now, I don't mean pray like so many in. I'm trying not to look you in the eye. I don't mean the kind of. I've never seen this in all of my life. Weak, need. I don't even bend the knee anymore. Praying that they call it. When really all it is a crisis hour moment where we know in the recesses of our mind we need to call out to God at some point. And so we lift up our little, I'm dating myself a little bit, but it was called Milquetoast. Milquetoast praying. You know what Milquetoast is? Grandma used to take toast and soak it in milk. And it would become virtually soggy and good for nothing. Of course, she didn't have no teeth, but I'm not going to go there. Our prayers have become Milquetoast prayers. They're weak. They're soggy. They become nothing more than grocery shopping lists that we bring to the Lord. Oh, Lord, do this, do this, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this. I want you to do this. I need you to do that. The kind of praying he was talking about was because we were taking heed to his word and we were watching. I know it's Sunday morning. I know you don't like hearing all these things, but he gave it to me. You got to hear it. We need to change our course on prayer. I don't know where the Elijahs of today are, but they're no. They ain't none around. What do you mean, Elijahs? When Elijah prayed, God moved. I said, when Elijah prayed, God moved. Most of us are down here today and we're beating ourselves silly, lifting up our Milquetoast shopping lists unto the Lord, and we think we're praying. Let me tell you something about prayer that I've learned. True spiritual prayer begins by allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with you. You're not going to be effective praying for anyone else until you've allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with you. It's been years ago now. Tammy and I pastored our last church in the Church of God. Many of you know them. They're very similar to the Assemblies of God, which both of them, like dodos, have gone off the cliff. I didn't have time to explain that. They just did. And they have forgotten sound doctrine. And they have stopped taking heed. And they have stopped watching. And they're not praying. Not like they should. We had walked away from the Church of God. They had just gone crazy. And into the arms of the Lord we went. And the Lord taught me something at that juncture about prayer. I've never forgotten it. That when we come before the Lord, we must first humble ourselves. And if we're going to pray about anything, we must first get ourselves right before God before we pray anything. That means you have to let Him deal with you before you ask of Him anything. I know you're sitting here this morning, and I know you've got needs. I hear about them all the time. But I'm here to tell you, you're wasting your time if you're not letting God deal with you before you ask Him to meet that need. More than you need a healing in your body, you need to get your heart right with God. More than you need God to move the mountain that you are staring at in your life, you need to let the Holy Spirit put His finger on the things that are not right in you. Take heed. Pray. Spiritual prayers. The kinds of prayers that invoke God to take complete control of your life. Why? Because the coming of the Lord is nigh. You've heard the saying before. They put it in many songs. It's time to get your house in order. Well, I don't know what that means to you. I know what it means. I know what it means to my wife. When my wife says I got to clean the house, you can't do nothing. 9 out of 10 times, she waits until I'm sitting down with my feet up. Then she wants to clean the house. Clean the house is not just picking up stuff. No, it's picking up stuff. It's running the vacuum. It's getting out the dust stuff, because it's Arizona, there's always dust. And it's not enough just to clean a little bit and go on. I say, oh, honey, looks great. It ain't clean like the Lord's the same way. He wants to do a deep clean on you. It's time to take heed. It's time to watch. It's time to pray. Let me move on. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter's the doorkeeper, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, hear this, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. The Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. You cannot walk in spiritual warfare and still entangle yourself in the affairs of this life. I know so many people that their spiritual position rises and falls based on what Trump says coming out of the White House. Now, I don't want you to take me wrong. I voted for the man. And so far, he's done a lot of good for this country. But he is not my spiritual barometer. Do you hear me? Nor would I ever put him in that circle. I don't care if he comes out with his own Bible. Doesn't matter. No two. Matter of fact, I wouldn't own one. You're going to come out with a Bible, but you're going to walk differently than what it says. Lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. Spiritual sleeping. Slumbering. It reminds me of Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. And the Bible says 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them took oil in their lamps, extra oil in their lamps. And 5 of them took none. They were just going to wing it. And they did not know that when the midnight hour struck, that the cry came, "The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." All 10 of them were sleeping. Welcome to the modern day church, because everybody's sleeping. And it's so hard to find somebody that's spiritually awake enough to tell you what I'm telling you this morning. To tell you that it's time to wake up and sit up and begin to take heed to the Word of God. And begin to, and when I say take heed to the Word of God, I mean every word that it says, every parable that it gives, every teaching that it gives, every form of doctrine that the Word of God gives, your life had better line up with that Word, not what somebody else says or does. And let me just say this here, because I hear it all the time. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know, I grew up in a church that had this and had that and the other, and my experiences are this and that. I don't give two bent pins what your experiences are. I don't care how good they may sound. I don't care how spiritual they may look. If they do not line up with the Word of God, then they are not from God. I don't care how good a feeling you felt when you felt it, when you were there and when you went through what you went through. I've known people to go to Christian rock concerts and come away saying, "Well, I went down to the altar for that dumb, lousy thing, and I felt something there, and I felt that." I don't care what you feel. The Bible says that there are demon spirits that are at work, and you can feel a lot of things. You can feel a familiar spirit, and because you're not where you need to be in the Lord, you don't know that it's not God. It's not enough just to say, "Well, I believe in God." It doesn't mean nothing. The Bible says that the devil and all of his demons believe in God and they tremble, and yet they're still going to be cast into outer darkness for all of eternity. How does that sit with you? It's not enough. What you have to do is take heed to the Word of God and say, "Oh, I've got to give my heart to the Lord. Oh, I've got to live right before God. Oh, I've got to make this thing. I haven't wanted to do it up to now." But you're going to need to do it in the days that are coming. I promise you that the separation, the sheep from the goats, is beginning to happen already in the land. And you must understand that God with His divine hand is reaching down through the Word of God that we are to take heed to. And He is making a separation even in the church, of the sheep and the goats. And if you're not living right, and if your heart has not been given to the Lord, and you don't know the Lord, I'm here to tell you today that when the trump of God sounds and the rapture of the church takes place, you're going to be left behind, and you're going to have to endure the tribulation that is coming upon this world. And I promise you, you don't want to be here. No man that warreth, you cannot be spiritually engaged with God in spiritual warfare and entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. They just don't go together. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 took extra oil. I know you're sleeping, but for the love of God, get extra oil. What does that mean? Oil has always meant one thing. It was a typology, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. That's why one of the last times I preached to you, I came to you with a word that God gave me that said, you must be filled with the Spirit. And just in case you don't understand what I'm talking about, am I talking about the baptism? Listen, there is one baptism in the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us and the Bible says you will. The first physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the speaking in tongues. It is of God. It is of the Lord. We got a lot of people doing it today and it's not of God. I know, that's why I'm so popular. But they do it because they know how to do it and they think it's right to do it. But no, the Bible said that it was as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. It's not as you feel a feeling and just come up with it on your own. That's not God. It must be the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit moves on you and gives you that utterance, God help you if you hold it back. When I say you must be filled with the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is one. But there are many refillings of the Holy Spirit. Because as we travel through this life, we pick up garbage from the world. And it begins to infiltrate in our hearts and our lives. And it begins to take up room. And I told you then and I tell you now, God only fills empty vessels. No, you didn't hear me. I'm going to say it again. I say, God only fills empty vessels. I don't care how much you want to move of God. I don't care how much you want the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Until you get to a place where you empty yourself out, God cannot fill you. No, you didn't hear that. I'm going to say it again. There's too much garbage in each and every one of us that we walk around with every single day. And we're trying to be spiritual. And we're trying to get spiritual jewels from God. And it's not happening. And we're wondering why God's not moving. And I'm here to tell you, God only fills empty vessels. You must be emptied. Emptied of what? Well, first of all, every weight and every sin that does so easily beset you. You need to empty your life of it. All of those things that you don't think are very big things. I don't have somebody come near that. I don't mind a little bit of country music when I'm in my car. Well, you better mind it. I don't know that there's anything wrong. I'm from the 50s and 60s, and we had good old-fashioned rock and roll. You better mind it. Everything that has the touch of the world to it that you allow into your life negates the things that would have the touch of God in it in your life. Now, you need to hear that. If you got too much of the world, then there's no way you can be filled with His Spirit. And what I said then, I say again this morning, I warn you, we must. It's not optional. We must be filled with His Spirit. We're not going to be able to exercise discernment. We're not going to be able to understand what the Word of God is saying when it's written right there. We were talking about something the other day, and Pastor and I, and if I said it to you this morning, I guarantee you probably half the church would walk out on me. But I don't care. I know what the Word says. And I don't care how preachers go back and forth. It just does not matter to me. And I wasn't watching what I was saying per se. I said, I just happen to be of the form that believes that what the Bible says, and the Bible says, let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. You swallow hard when you hear stuff like that. When it's preachers that offer opinions about this and that and the other. And I promise you, we no more had that conversation in the very next week. This entire thing we call the church had an explosion in it. How many remember a week or two ago where there was an explosion with the it was a statement that came from the Southern Baptist Convention about women in ministry? You don't want me to preach on that today. I promise you you don't. But I can tell you this. Whatever it is you do, and don't get me wrong, God uses women. We are not anti-women. That's nonsense. But God has a role. God has a rank and file. God has an order. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? And if it comes outside of what that order is,
Well, how do we know what that order is then? So many people believe so many different, even in the Pentecostal church, there are some that believe so many. I'll tell you exactly how we get to that, what that order is. We open up the Word of God and we read what the Word of God says. And we read what they were teaching us. And we read the context in which it was written. And we read the basis upon which it was stated. And you will find very simply that it's not hard to interpret at all if you'll just take the cotton out of your ears and listen to what the Lord is saying. That's where sound doctrine comes from. We've gotten to a place to where we don't want to hear those things. No wonder he said in the last days, they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That means whatever persuasion they are, they're going to find a teacher that teaches along that line, and that's what they're going to go with. God help them. Because when the trump of God sounds, which is what we are nearing right now, and the trump of the Lord sounds, and Christ steps out on a cloud, and He calls those that are in Christ Jesus, that is, those that are alive and those that are dead, that were in Christ Jesus, and He calls them forth, we're going to raise up and we're going to be with Christ, but because you were in your own doctrine and you had teachers because you had itching ears, you're going to be left behind and you're going to be sad-faced wondering what in the world happened. I went to church every Sunday and I thought everything was okay. I believed in God. I thought everything was okay. Why am I left behind? Because you didn't listen to those ranting, raving preachers like Brother Cooley on a Sunday morning trying to tell you that Jesus is coming. I don't say that lightly. I'm telling you, this world's about to wrap up. There are no more signs to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church takes place. No more. Everything has happened in this generation that the Bible described. He said, you don't know the day nor the hour. But He did say, you can know the season. Because you know when summer's coming and the tree begins to bear fruit. You know that summer's coming. I have wept over this word. And I don't know any other way to tell you. Five were wise. Five were foolish. I aim to not be foolish. What does that mean? I have been praying, God, every day, fill me. Fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And all of my peers that are running violently off a steep cliff spiritually, that I won't get sucked up into that. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that when the trump sounds and the cry comes forth, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. When it happens, you're not going to have time. Do you hear me? You think you will, but you're not. Bible says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You're not going to have time when that. Or is it just going to be the church that hears this? No. Whole world's going to hear that sound. You see, when Jesus left this world, you remember He was standing at the mount with all of His disciples, and the Bible said over 500 people were gathered there that day. And while He was imparting His last words unto them, the Bible says, behold, a cloud came and received Him out of their sight. And then the two men in white, the angels of the Lord, said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? For this same Jesus that you have seen go is going to come back in like manner. When the trump of God sounds, this is not the second coming, this is the rapture. When the trump of God sounds, Jesus Himself is going to step out on a cloud. Come forth,
Those are the words I heard in my dream when the Lord gave me that dream about the coming of the Lord. Come forth. The Bible says it this way, come out of her, my people. Only those who are in Christ are going to go. As you sit here today and you've heard these words, where are you now? Where do you sit? Stand to your feet this morning, if you will. Where do you sit? I don't mean what chair you're in the building. I mean, where are you with the Lord now? Now, having been faced with what the Word of God says, where are you now? Can you honestly say that if the trump sounded that you would be ready to go? Or while you're sitting here, has the Holy Spirit put His finger on a few things in your life that you don't talk about, but you know they need dealt with? He's coming to you today. Today is the day. Today is your moment, your opportunity. Do you realize that we could walk out of this service and hear the trump of God sound? And I don't want you to miss that opportunity to go to be with Him. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. I'm going to ask you to just stand right where you are. I don't want anything to hinder you, let alone someone looking at you, whatever. Get right with God and that'll go away, but you know. Let's sing that a moment, Tim, and then we'll pray. Come unto Jesus.
More time.